Amen.
We look forward to the things of God, and we ask that you continue to listen as we are in live service right now with International Prayer Center. We ask God that he will keep you and bless you is our prayer. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. My Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Amen. God bless you, Prophet. I bless each and every one of you in your respective places. You guys look amazing today. Amen. I know that the Spirit of God is with you. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, oh God, for allowing us, oh God, to open our eyes, God. But now, God, we ask, Father, that you bless the spirit that has come upon you. Amen. We ask that you look down into the Javilian's household, oh God, as their family circle has been interrupted. God, we ask that their hearts be made whole, Father. We ask, oh God, that everything that they are enduring, oh God, that you will be with them, oh God. Encourage their hearts some more, oh God, to know that when we are absent from this body, that we are present with the Lord. Father, we ask, oh God, that every desire that is in a man's heart, Father, that you would grant them that desire, oh God, for as long as they're living a righteous life in your sight. Father, now in the name of Jesus, I repent of all sins, known and unknown, the omission and commission, oh God, every word that I have uttered from my body, oh God, that has not been pleasing your sight. Father, I ask you right now for your forgiveness, God. Father, we ask, oh God, that you continue to be with us, oh God. Continue to have your Holy Spirit orchestrate our very being. This and all things we ask in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom and power and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with power and wisdom and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. For those of you that know the words of prayer, we ask that you continue to pray for Mother Brown. Amen. Continue to pray for Prophetess King. Continue to pray for Courtney McCray. Amen. Deacon Courtney McCray, Brother Courtney McCray, whichever tickles your fancy. God bless you. Amen. We ask that you continue to keep your minds and your hearts set on the Blog Talk listeners, amen, those that call in, those that are reaching out, those that are asking for prayer, we ask that you continue to keep them in your hearts and your minds for their deliverance and what they're standing in the need of, amen. We know that ISIS is moving very quickly in the lands afar, so we're going to ask that God's hand just come down and just smite them and move them off of this earth, amen. If he don't move, then we ask that God change their hearts, amen, because they're hindering people from coming forth in the things of God, amen, including my travels. I want to go, amen. I want to go. We have so many requests for doing healing crusades over there, and because of what's happening over there, physicians aren't allowing, but I know that God is pushing me, and I ask that when I make that step, that you pray my strength in the Lord. Amen. And if I am taken, amen, hostage, you better believe I'm going to profess Christ until the end. Amen. So I bless the Lord for even the lives that have been taken, that they continue their stance. And even in the very last hour, they profess Christ. So I bless the Lord for their lives. I bless the Lord for their families and our faraway brothers and sisters. Amen. We're going to ask that you keep the Bishop Franklin's household lifted up. Amen. The Smith household lifted up. We want to just encourage each and every one of the saints of God. Amen. Amen. With that being said, I had a opportunity to do some soul searching. Amen. Over this weekend, I had to do some things and been brought back from my old ways. But it was a situation where, you know, confession is good for the soul. But it was a situation that had I approached it mildly or meekly, words just wouldn't be heard. Amen. The Bible teaches me that I need to come boldly. The Bible also teaches me that I'm allowed to be angry. Just not allowed to have my anger cause me to sin. Amen? And even in my mind, I asked God for 2 good hours to just let me just be what I want to be. But he didn't release me. I need you to understand that. He didn't release me to be in my flesh. Let that be known. God is not in that. But the beauty in that is that God gave me the opportunity to revisit him and to repent of those things that are not like him. Anybody ever found yourself in that situation? that you feel like what I've done is just too damaging that I can't go back and ask God to forgive. So now here it is. Let's fast forward in some things. Have you ever been faced with an opportunity to make an offer, put a bid on the table about some things that you want to change in your life? And then you feel as if, dang, if I could have held out just a little while longer, I would have did better, right? You ever felt that way? You really felt that way? But have you ever thought that your spirit man is about like that? If I would have just held out a little bit longer, I would have just been a little bit more spiritual. Because I was quick to react. But I wasn't quick to let God do it. You ever had that feeling? What was happening to Moses in that time is that he was having that same situation going on. He wasn't feeling as if what he was doing was worthy enough. So he always questioned God, well, God, are you sure if I go back? Are you sure if I tell the people this, they will hear me? There's always a doubt in your mind. Amen. We're going somewhere with this thought. Amen. I just want you to keep the subject in the back of your head. What else have I left? What good thing have I left at the table? What good thing did I miss? You ever been out to dinner? You had this food, and the waitress, they real swift on their job because they want to get you in and out. And they took your plate, and you still had a little bit left on that. And you just felt like, I'm not complete because I wasn't able to finish what I started. You ever felt that way? I'm not done with this yet. Leave it right here. I'm good. I'm good. But it's been times in my life where I had job offers. And I just felt as if I would have held out just a little while longer, I could have gotten a little bit more, much more. My compensation could have been greater. My expectations of where I was going in life could have been really, really high. But because I was ready to just settle for what I wanted at this time, I wasn't really consulting God. I just wanted to take what I can get. But now here's the bright side of that story. I always felt if I didn't take that opportunity at that moment, it wouldn't be an opportunity after I walk away. You follow where I'm coming from? Sometimes God is blessing you with just enough for you to have, and he just wants you to take that of what he's giving you and walk away. Because what the other people may hold out for and get more of may be much more of what they are required to have. I may not need all of what you're requiring or what I think I should have, but I'm settling for what I think. I had to change my way of thinking. Okay, maybe this is what God has for me. Amen? Even spiritually. You can't be in a situation where you're being like others. Because to be like others mean you're mimicking, you're mocking, you're not being true. I've seen that amongst the saints where they're mimicking and they're mocking, and then before you know it, you actually find out that there is no Holy Spirit dwelling. Now, they're not mimicking or mocking the things of God. They're mimicking and mocking man. Amen? Now, I had this conclusion that if I had turned down the first offer, as I was saying, that there may not be a second offer. So I settled into the Lord, and the Lord has provided me with these thoughts that whatever he gives me, that's the only thing I should be concerned about, what's on the table. But here you can really lose perspective if you're trying to dwell on the things that might have been or the things I might have instead of what I got. Amen? Have you ever felt the way that with your spiritual life that you have you ever wondered of what type of blessings or what great work the Lord has or what great accomplishments you can have? Or have you ever felt like you just missed out? Oh, I wish I would have did it this way. If I just would have followed my first mind. Have your pastor ever told you who was your first mind talking to you? If you are a child of God, who's the first mind? Your Holy Spirit. That's your comforter. That's the one that guides you. That's the one that leads you. But you're quick to say, if I would have followed my first mom. Amen? Now let's look at Moses for a little while. This is where we're going, about leaving no good thing on the table. Moses' life, for a moment, I want to show you, because sometimes I like to give a background, a backdrop, if you will, as to where we're going. Now, Moses' life here was a life of disobedience. How did I get to that? Just a few words of spoken in frustration and anger and in disbelief cost Moses his relationship and his work for God. The first thing we need to understand is just what kind of man Moses was. All of us have been in church for a period of time. Amen? Or you have read a little bit about the Bible and you heard about the story concerning Moses' life. Amen? Amen. He was born of an Israeli family in Egypt, and he was born to be a slave, but Pharaoh declared that every Hebrew male should be killed, amen, to keep the deliverer from rising up and from freeing the Hebrew slave. Amen? Moses was saved by he was being put in a little basket and sent up the stream. Amen? He was found by Pharaoh's, he was found by Pharaoh's daughter, if I'm not mistaken. He was found by Pharaoh's daughter, and she raised him to be her son. Amen? But he was raised in this prestige environment, ivory walls and gold scopings, and he had this beautiful life. But then his life was also put in jeopardy when he found out who he really was. Amen? Sometimes when you find out who you really are in God, your life is at jeopardy. The enemy is set to kill, steal, and so because of who you are, your life is already set to be destroyed. Amen? Here it is that Moses, amen, also was on the run. Because he found out who he was, because he murdered one of the top dogs in this clique, his life was at stake. But don't you know that even though your life is at stake as a man or a woman of God, you got somebody fighting your battles? Amen? Here it is. Let's get into the beautiful part of Moses' life. This is the part that I love. Moses started out doubting his own ability to lead Israel, but God saw a leader in Moses, and so began Moses' life as the deliverer. He saw that God brings a plague unto Egypt until Pharaoh could no longer deny that Israel's freedom was at hand. Israel walked out of Egypt, and then Moses saw this miracle of parting the Red Sea. We're trying to fast forward some things because I want to get to this heartened part of it. But traveling across the desert of the wilderness in the country, it required a lot of water for nearly 2 million Hebrews that Moses led, but God was their provider. So he's my Jehovah. Amen. And he would not let them die in the desert. God would not set you free or deliver you out of some circumstances just for you to die in another one. Come on, somebody. Moses had come to the end of his rope with Israel, and their constant murmuring and complaining, and they had taken its toll on Moses' patience. Listen. Pastor McCray, so sick and tired of being sick and tired of hearing your murmuring and your complaining. I'm preaching to me right now. Don't take it personal. Because, see, we got to be the first partaker. Amen? Amen. And at this moment, Moses made a terrible mistake. Someone find Numbers 20 for me and read. Numbers 20, verse 7 through 13. Numbers 20. When you find it, read. Mm-hmm. Numbers 20. 7.
And it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels.
Well,
must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand and with his rod. And with his rod, he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank and their beef also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not. To sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore, ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them.
My God. This is the water of the Lord. Because the children of Israel strove with the Lord and he was sanctified in them, this little incident at the rock may seem insignificant to you and I. So what if Moses hit the rock when God had instructed him to only speak to it and the water would flow? This was just a rock that was in the desert. It didn't look any different than any other. It was just another rock. But here it is. Why would God turn around and get angry with Moses for such an insignificant mistake? There are two reasons that God would be upset with Moses. The first one is Moses allowed his personal feelings. Oh, I'm preaching today. Moses allowed his personal feelings to surface at the rock. The constant bickering and the murmuring of the Hebrews wore him down, and he allowed his anger to arise and his frustrations brought on a disregard for the instructions of God. He took the rod and he hit the rock instead of speaking to the rock. In this, Moses had shown his lack of faith for God to perform what God said he would do. So, saints, we sit up here with this attitude. We sit up here with this frustration. We sit up here with this, I ain't going to move if they say move. I'm not going to speak if pastors say speak. We sit up here with this disregard for the service that we're rendering unto God, but we're sitting in disobedience to God. Do what you came to do, Holy Spirit. The second one is Moses failed to understand what the symbolic significance of this water from the rock meant. Amen? Jesus was represented in that rock. Say, Jesus is the water. Amen. And the river of the water was representing the life, giving the flowing of the Holy Ghost to God's people. Moses was the only to speak to the rock, not to smite it. Jesus paid the price for our provisions and our salvation upon the cross, one time for all sins, from the day forth, and we need to do this and ask it and receive of the Lord. He already paid the price. That water that was flowing was a representation of the living waters that's supposed to dwell within. But because the living waters was delivered out of anger, out of disobedience, out of frustration, when the people consumed the water, they quenched their thirst in their flesh, but they didn't quench their thirst spiritually. Because in this moment, it wasn't so much that they believed God, but they believed Moses out of Moses' power for hitting the rock. But if he would have stood back and just spoke to the rock, it would have been God that would have been glorified and sanctified in it. In that very moment, I believe that the people of Israel would not have continued to sin on top of sin. Why? Because at that very moment, they would have been able to see God's glory. That all we have to do is speak into the atmosphere. Yet we don't speak the words of God. We get frustrated. We get angry. We get, come on, somebody. In our households, we just want to, I ain't going to talk to you no more. Bye. Oh, saying in this day and age, bye, Felicia. She got to talk to me. You ain't got to do nothing for me. Because this God that I serve is my Jehovah Jireh. Anybody know that? That means he's my provider. So what you got to offer me ain't no good thing if it ain't coming from God anyway. Come on, somebody. Oh, I'm preaching to your spirit man today, amen? Deuteronomy 3:23, amen, 23-27, and I brought forth the Lord at that time, saying, O God, thou hast begun to show thine servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand, and what God is in the heavens or in the earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might. I pray that he let me go over and see the good land that is beyond the Jordan, that goodly mountain of Lebanon. But the Lord was wrath with me. Somebody say, oh, God got angry with me. Moses left a blessing on the table of his life. One act of disobedience, one time of frustration, anger, and doubt cost him his dream that he had dreamed for all of those many years while he was in the wilderness on his journey. All it takes is for you to get pissed off one time and cause God to get upset with you. See, oftentimes we figure because we holy, we saved, and we've been saved for many years, I can tell you better than you can tell me. You can't tell me nothing because sometimes by your actions, I know God ain't dealing with you. I can hear my sister right now say that you have the thought of God, but you don't have the Holy Spirit of God. So while you're in this pretension stage, God ain't nowhere around you. You can only pretend for so long before your real being starts to show. I heard the prophet this morning and said, because of all of the disobedience, because of all of the warfare, because of all these things that I'm standing in and they are not of God, sickness begins to come across the body. I need you to understand that even in your sick time, even in your downtime, because you serve the true and living God, even though that sickness and that flesh has become filled with iniquity, you won't feel a thing. Somebody say, I don't even feel it. Come on, somebody. They say, Pastor McCray, how are you able to go through what you go through and get up there and do what you do? Because I don't feel this. Huh? My spirit man is already made whole. God's already confirmed to me that this is not unto death. If you stay on the rock that God has put you on, there is no failure in God. If Moses just had would have did what God told him to do, there would have not been any failure. God would have granted him the desire of his heart to see the promised land with his people. But because of his disobedience, because of his failure to believe God, because of his murmuring and his discord, you missed the table. You walk right past it. You're able to look at it. You hungry. You want to eat. You want to rest. You want to rejoice. You want to kick back, put your heels up. You can look at it, but you can't touch it. God said, because of me, because of the lack of sanctification that you should have given me, that you should have shown me, you wanted to be big in front of the people. Watch this. You want to tell the people what thus says the Lord, but can't nobody tell you nothing. Oh, God is teaching up in here today.
Even Moses was anointed. Even Moses was set aside. Even Moses was called. Even Moses was prepared to do what he was sent to do. But just because of one error in Moses, I'd say enough is enough. Had I not shown myself to you? Have I not proven you? So why do you feel like you got to entertain people and put forth some strength to it? I don't need you. Come on, somebody tell them, God don't need you. He don't need you. He can use you. That's it. God desires to use each and every one of us. But it's not for our glory. It's for God to be glorified. We so holy, all bow, shantan, not a little bow, seke. And you just walk by the table. And while you believe it's already written out for you to enter into the promised land, God has already canceled your assignment. Come on, somebody. This is a year of repentance and correction. So please don't excuse me because I delivered this word to you. I don't repent of it. I'm going to stand corrected by it. Amen? Hallelujah. One moment of his anger, one moment of his disobedience, one moment of his mistrust in God, one moment of frustration, one moment of doubt, and the pipes to pray, amen, the blessings that he missed were great. We lose so many things because of our frustration with people. I can hear people saying in my spirit all the time that God understands, and watch this, Sister Clay, God knows my heart. And that God will overlook this fault and our failures. And as long as I keep trying over and over, that may be all well and good. Amen. But the price that you got to pay for your weakness, that's a price. Oh, because he know my heart, he know I'm going to fail. Okay, he know all that. But that's a price. Have you ever counted up the cost? What it would cost you to see the promised land? I can see that commercial, priceless. Amen? You can't do it. Priceless. Amen? There's no doubt that Moses today is in the heavenly realm. Amen? Because I believe that Jesus led them out of the paradise after his death that was on the cross when Jesus led the captivity captives and let them all free. So I believe that now Moses is there. But imagine the time that Moses spent in the flesh to see others celebrating and moving forth in the good things in God while he stood behind and just was able to peek. Just to be able to see it and can't touch it. Mama ever baked the power of cake and told you better not go in there and touch nothing. Sometimes you go and get a slice and try to fix it up like she ain't going to know something missing. So you can't do God like that. You can't believe that you're living in a righteous life and you can just fix up some things and think you can fool God. Come on. Say what you mean and mean what you say. Say you're going to be a devout Christian. You want to serve the Lord. You're going to serve God's people. That doesn't mean isolate yourself. The Bible reminds me that a devil's workshop. God bless you. When you set aside and you by yourself, but it was an idle man, an idle mind is a devil's workshop. He can go in there and play all day while you think if God's setting you aside, he up there pushing everybody away from you. Everybody you say you love, everybody you say they love you, you'll be there no matter what. And then when they look around, you ain't nowhere to be found. Come on, somebody. I even remember talking to the prophets. I said, look, I'm tired of calling folk. I'm tired of dealing with people. They don't want to be dealt with, then let them stay on their way. You know why I got that attitude? Because it's others that want to hear from me. It's others that want to be delivered from where they are. It's others that desire to hear a word from God. Amen? And not to be closed out into your own thinking. Watch this. The Bible says, lean not unto your own understanding, but in all things acknowledge who? God. So while we are isolating ourselves and while we are doing things that we think are pleasing to God, like Moses did, Moses probably felt in his mind, it don't matter, the water still came out. It wasn't the fact that the water came out, it was how it came out. Because you took your strength and hit the rock. Now, because I don't want my word to fail, I'm going to make that water come from that rock. But now I'm upset with you because you didn't just speak to it so I could be glorified. You took the glory from me. So while we lay hands and cry, holy, holy, we're taking the glory from God except standing back and letting God do the work. Let me use my household as an example. Oh, the enemy running back and forth all around. He can't come in now. But he's running around the premises. He's trying his best to get in. All I got to do is speak and walk away. I'm done. He can kick up those feet, those tantrums fall on the floor. I don't care about it. I'm going to say bye, Felicia. Deuces. I need you to understand that, saint. People will use the word of God to get you to do what they want and conform to their needs instead of God's needs. Moses was using the words that God had given him, but he didn't do it so that God would be glorified. He was already pissed off. He did it out of the provocation of anger. So I need you to serve me. Stop being all the time. I'm sick of hearing y'all. If you sick of hearing people always complaining, how do you think God feel about you? Oh. Brenda was on the phone the other day, and I was on the phone with Brother Shipp. Who is that on the phone asking all them questions? As soon as I get on the phone with him, he started with the question, Don't do it. This ain't what you want. This ain't it. All of you, you understand what I'm saying? You can't expect somebody to render a certain type of respect to you when you're not ready to render the same respect in return. Bible tells me, do unto others as you would like them. God bless you, Bible scholar. So we got to search ourselves. We don't need to be disobedient in the things of God. Because now, same thing, when we start getting heavy laid and I remember we read the scriptures from last week about downcast and woe is me. It ain't going to stop. There's a certain thing called pressing your way. Pressing your way. I heard divine praises. I heard Minister Javillion get up and she said, God, regardless, I'm still going to give you praise. She was pressing well. I know she ain't feeling well in her body, but she was pressing. This work you put before me, I'm going to do it. I might step aside for a second, but this work that you got me doing right now, I'm going to meet this assignment. That's how Moses should have been. Right now, in this very moment, this assignment that you have for me, regardless of what I hear, regardless of what I feel, regardless of what it feels like, I'm going to meet this assignment. Hallelujah. But Moses had missed the mark. Perhaps God has a work for you to do and some ministries that will bless the lives of the other people. But because we don't have the trust and the faith, you may say it with your mouth, but your actions say otherwise. But God, that we should or that the ministry would never happen. Why? Because we're not putting forth the faith. Amen. Some of you have businesses that should prosper, but because we're not walking in the faith that God has given us, some of us have churches to build, but because we're not walking in the faith that God is giving us, some of us have marriages to attend to, but because we're not walking in the faith, some of us have children that are disobedient, but because we're not walking in the faith, it'll post it. I believe the most prosperous people are the ones that are already gone. People say that Fort Knox is the greatest and the richest place on earth, amen, because of all the jewels and all the notes and the gold and the precious stones that are there. But I believe that the richest ones are already gone. Why? Because they've taken the greatest ideas before they can manifest. They've taken the greatest insight in architectural work to build ministries. They've taken all of these thought processes that never manifest itself. So it's more dead in the body than it is alive here in the earth. All of these great visions, all of this great prosperity that God has given us, yet we hold on to it and we sit on it. There's a work to do, saints. He doesn't expect us to just stand still and look across the promised land. He actually wants you to be in it. Hallelujah. I want to be where God wants me to be. Songwriter said, I want to be where you are. I got to be where you are. I want to be where God is. I want to kiss the feet of Jesus. I want to just, if I could just rub my fingers across the throne. That's where I want to be. And I want that for you. Amen? Hallelujah. There is a story in the Bible that speaks of those whose lives or their lives were not fulfilled with their purpose in life. And Mark 11, 11 through 14, it says, and Jesus entered into Jerusalem and unto the temple. And when he had looked around about of all things, and now the eventide was come, when he went out unto Bethany with the 12, and the marrow when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. Somebody said, prophecy, God was hungry earlier today, amen. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having the leaves, he came. Because when he saw something with leaves on it, he believed that whatever that fruit was, it was supposed to produce, amen. And happily, he might have found anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. For the time of the figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat the fruit, therefore, hereafter forever. And his disciples heard this, but in Mark 11, 19 through 20, it says, and when even was come, he saw the tree, and in the morning, and they passed by, and they saw the fig and the tree dried up from its roots. Mm-mm. It wasn't even the season for the figs, but Jesus expected the fig tree to have fruit anyway. Amen? It may not be even your time, but God is expecting you to live a righteous life anyway. So if he decides to pluck you or he decides to call you out in the rapture, you will be ready to receive. Come on, somebody. But because it didn't, the tree was cursed and never again bore fruit anymore. But because you're not doing what God says to. Jesus expected fruit from our lives all the time, not because we're downcast or heavy laden or we're sick in our bodies. That does not stop the things of God. God said that I am the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. So who are you to stop my work? Do what you came to do, my God. Paul wrote these words to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 and 2. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, and exhort with all of long suffering and doctrine. So regardless of what you're going through in your suffering, in your weak time, in your downtime, reprove, rebuke, teach my doctrine. Care nothing about your head hurt. I don't care nothing about you got a stomach ache. I'm this God that you said that you love and you serve. Don't you believe me for healing? Uh-oh. I'm going to back up right there. I believe God. That's why I'm able to do what I can do for God. That's why I'm able to stand strong in God, because I believe him for my healing daily. Now, I ain't picking at nobody, but if it fits, wear it. Those words weren't just for Timothy. They were for all of us. Amen? God expects much out of our lives. In Luke 12 and 48 say, unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much of him, they will ask for more. To much is given, much is required. So you say that you receive the Holy Spirit, that you are saved, fire baptized, and filled with the Spirit of God, then you are required to work. That's a lot. That's a lot to have. That's more precious than silver and gold and rubies and emeralds. You can keep all that. You can have it. Watch this. Come on, preacher. You can keep your race cars, your motors, your gas, your big tires, your stack rims. You can keep all that. You can have it. Because if it's not a blessing from God, I don't want it. Some of us compromise and they receive the things of this world because you've convinced yourself that this is a blessing. God want me to have that. God ain't nowhere in it. Ain't nowhere in it. Now, that doesn't sound like God will give us an excuse for failure to produce. I believe that God has a great work for all of us to do. The question is, what will we leave on the table? What will the work that God has called us to do die in us? Or will we see the coming of fruition? Will we take what we want to take on the table? Somebody say, they always quote, take out the scriptures of what they want to apply. God said if you're to do unto others, okay, but what about what you do? One act of obedience caused Moses the entrance into the promised land. What will you miss? What would you pass up to be obedient to God? What would you allow God to use you to do? What will you take from that table? See, I don't want to miss nothing. I want a full course meal. Whatever he has for me on that table, I don't want to leave no good thing because I believe everything that God puts before me is good. There's no bad thing. There's no bad thing in God. Everything on the table is good. Everything on the table is good. Don't miss it like Moses missed it. Come on, saints. Don't miss it like Moses missed it. All because he was upset, he frustrated, he angry, he a nugget. You upset with pastor, you ain't upset with pastor. Pastor's doing what God told him to do. Take it up with God. You got ill feelings, you got hatred in your heart, something you don't like, talk to God. But you better be careful how you approach him. I'm just saying. Because you can't come to God in any old kind of way. Moses went to God with Aaron, and he was just complaining. You know, all these people, they just bite biters. They naysayers. They just complaining about things. They just arguing for no reason. Yet you done set them free. They wanted freedom. You gave them freedom, and they still acting them up down there, and you want me to go back and do what? Don't be like Moses. Don't act like Moses. Be obedient. Don't be frustrated with God. Don't be angry with his people. Come on, we're Christians. I'm supposed to be able to go to you and talk to you without anger. Huh? And you're supposed to be able to receive it. How many times good people don't come to you and talk to you about the same things over and over and you don't even receive, but it causes anger to provoke you. You're so far away from God that anger is what moves you. You five times replaced. You ain't even in the place of God. We have to examine ourselves, saints. This is a time of reproof. You've been rebuked already. Trust me. Huh? He chased those that he loved. God is chasing you right now. He's chasing you for your your obedience unto him. He's chasing you that you will have salvation in him. He's chasing you that you will live a holy life in his presence. Don't you know what you do in the eyes of man really dictates how God is? When you're professing Christ. My brother Brendan, don't you know your behavior really speaks volume? Sometimes the way we behave can actually move people farther away from God while we're thinking we're so holy, we're moving them to God. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. Didn't know how to say it. And it cost him his whole life while he was here on earth. All that he had worked for, all that he had been faithful to, all that he had done for the glory of God, but that one mistake he made moved him furthest away from God than even the enemy was. I don't believe that anybody living in that promised land at that time was any more holier than Moses was. But because they were still obedient and did what God told them to do, they still reap the rewards. So even your enemies will reap the reward of God. And you'll be standing on the border looking at them enjoy the promised land because of your disobedience. Amen? So what good thing have you left at the table? That's just a self-examination today, saints. As I take my seat, amen, we ask that you all stand. Father, we thank you, O God, for allowing us to examine your word. We thank you, Father, for allowing the Holy Spirit to come in and correct us. Father, now we ask, Lord God, that your doctrine be written out onto the tables of our hearts. Father, that it be hidden in our hearts that we will not sin against it. Father, that you will continue to go before us and make our way clear, God, as you have done the people of Israel. As we proclaim the livelihood, O God, the inheritance of the Gentiles, O God, as we walk in your glory, O God, the descendants of your people. Father, we ask that the Holy Spirit continue to be with us, henceforth and forevermore. For those of you that know the words of prayer, continue to pray, my strength in the Lord. This and all things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Back in the hands of our prophet. Amen. 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 God bless you, Pastor.